Hey, welcome back to RM Podcast FL. This is your favorite podcaster, Romina. I hope everybody's having a great and a fabulous day so far. Here in Florida, we most likely have some crazy rain today, but I am recording this episode a little before so we can make sure we stay on the schedule. I promise you guys, new episodes every Tuesday for the new interviews and educational episodes on Thursday. So I'm trying to keep my commitment. Before we do jump to the interview for today, I definitely want to let you guys know about the free webinar that I am conducting the 8th of September at noon Eastern time. If you guys want to go ahead and get the Zoom meeting ID so you can join us, go ahead and email me at rmpodcastfl@gmail.com. The webinar will be fully focused on sales and negotiations, and I've been working sales for quite some time, so I will share tips and tricks that work for me in the sales world, as well as I will answer any question that you guys might have. But without hesitation, let's go ahead and jump to today's interview. Natasha Slaughter is the guest for today. She is one of the people that you need to go to if you do have a human resource question. She has been in the HR world for years and currently holds the president chair for the Jacksonville chapter of the International Organization of Society Human Resource Management. Society Human Resource Management, it is a professional human resource membership association founded since 1948. And they're very active on connecting with U.S. Senate and petitioning on different HR issues, such as the Family and Medical Leave Act, the FMLA, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, EEOC, as well as the ODEP, the Office of Disability Employment Policy. So she is a president for the Jacksonville chapter. While working as a president there, she is also a senior human resource consultant for Dynamic Corporate Solutions and the owner of NEX Chapter Media Group. I have crossed paths with Natasha multiple times, and it's always awesome running across from her because she's one of those people that just resonate only positive energy, and it's always down to help you out with no matter what question you have. Without losing any time, I will let you guys enjoy the interview. And as always, if you do have any questions, go ahead and email me, rmpodcastfl@gmail.com. And please go ahead and give us a 5-star review. Remember, we need to hit 100, guys. So I need your help on that. Enjoy the interview. Perfect. So just like I mentioned on the top, on the bio, today's guest is Miss Natasha. Hi, dear. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Happy Monday.
Same to you.
Even though the interview is lunch on Tuesday, it's Monday. Oh, my goodness. Well, first, I want to thank you for taking your time. I know Mondays are typically hectic, and you still took your time to join me today.
Well, thank you for having me. Anytime.
Absolutely. So I'm super excited about this interview. I got the chance to know you from 3 years ago when we've crossed paths a couple of different times with Society of Human Resource Management with SHRM in Jacksonville. And you also help us through the FSCJ, Florida College State of Jacksonville program that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So if you want to tell us a little bit, walk us through young Natasha to today.
Well, I guess I can say I've always been an ambitious person.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was growing up, I always had some type of plan or goal in mind. Mm-hmm. Even when I was in high school, I was great at numbers, great in algebra. Thought that, hey, you know what? I will go out for and become an accountant or you know, something in finance. And then I get to college and I take my first accounting course, and I'm like, where are the debits and credits? So it was just not for me. And so I decided to just change my major to business administration.
Okay.
And I took an HR course.
Okay.
My last year, only one course my last year. And a part of that course was to do a group project and interview a representative from an HR department.
Okay.
It just so happens that one of my team members, like one of my classmates, he knew through his mother somehow, I think he was the VP of HR for North Florida Regional Medical Center in Gainesville. I went to school at the University of Florida.
Gotcha.
And we did that interview and it was amazing. I walked out like, this is where I want to be. I know I want to be in human resources.
Oh, wow.
I just need to figure out how to do it, but I knew I wanted to be in human resources. So, you know, graduated from college and took a position, kind of a roundabout way, took a position in a staffing company as a recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing medical and dental recruiting and staffing.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that particular company, it closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I want to change careers. I want something fun and exciting. And, you know, what's an exciting career I can have? And I had been working in healthcare up to that point, off and on, in small jobs through college and things of that nature. So I knew I didn't really want to go back into healthcare,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to do something a little bit different. And lo and behold, I got an opportunity to move to Atlanta.
Okay.
From Jacksonville. And
love the city. Hate the traffic.
You know, I moved to Atlanta and, you know, obtained a position,
mm-hmm.
In with a hotel, a major hotel chain. And I haven't looked back since. Of course, I had to learn the hotel industry, so
mm-hmm.
I took a position actually in sales and marketing,
okay.
as an administrative assistant, supporting the sales department and the general manager. But I kind of worked my way through to the human resources department. Now, know me, once again, I always have a goal. I'm ambitious like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if I'm not in HR in 18 months, I'll just move to another company. But at the 18-month mark, some positions came open in human resources throughout the city of Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And I applied for one and I got it.
Nice.
So, and I've been in human resources whether human resources or training and development world ever since for the past 20 years now.
That's awesome. Where do you get all this passion of being an overachiever? Like, where do you get all this motivation from? Would you say your family or...
In a way, I think it's family. I think it's just about learning from people around me,
mm-hmm.
and seeing what they have accomplished and saying, hey, you know what? You know, how can I be even better? How can I not necessarily obtain more, but how can I be a better person, a better individual? Something along those lines, because I think that, you know, when you see what's around you and see the world around you, you see all the things that need to be done,
mm-hmm.
and you say, boy, I know I can do that. I know I see that. I know that position is available and I know I can do it better. You know, you just see all these things that need to be done and you say, boy, you know, Natasha can do it.
So you
strive for that.
Do you let some stuff though hold you back? Like, for example, if you see a job application, I'm one of the people that I'll apply for a position that I might not even be qualified for because I'm just like, I'm just going to go for it. Like, do you let like for example, like one or two things, you're like, I can do X thing, but I am missing just a portion of it. Do you still go for it?
When I was younger, yes.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started out in my career, yes. There were often times that I would look at an open position and say, hey, you know what? I'm missing one of those qualifications,
yeah.
therefore I'm not going to apply for it. I say in the past, you know, 10 years, 10, 15 years or so, no, that has not held me back from a career perspective. I think you always have some trepidation when you change careers,
mm-hmm.
or you want to try something new and exciting. You think about all the things that can go wrong or all the things, but you, at some point you have to say, you know what, I'm just going to put 2 feet first and I'm just going to go for it. You know, I transitioned into from human resources to owning my own company.
Mm-hmm.
I own Next Chapter Media Group, which focuses on nonprofit consulting as well as marketing consulting for nonprofits. It's focused on small nonprofits as well. And it took me a while to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew on my bucket list that I wanted to own my own company by a certain age and a certain time, but if I hadn't have had whatever circumstances that happened in my life at that time,
mm-hmm.
then I may still be with that previous employer instead of branching out on my own. So I think that sometimes you have to have that nudge. Sometimes it's someone that tells you, you can do this. You know, I had a lot of people come to me and ask me for marketing assistance, and
mm-hmm.
they said, you know, you can do this for a living. And once you hear that so many times, you really need to to research to see how you can do it well.
Who would you say has been the biggest supporter for you?
Quite frankly, from a career standpoint, I have several mentors. You know, you have a mentor for certain things in your life. You have a mentor who is the HR mentor that mm-hmm. supports your HR career. If you were to, you know, go into another, you know, side venue or side hustle these days or mm-hmm. some type of side gig, you want, you know, a mentor to guide you from that perspective. So I think from an HR perspective, I do have a mentor, mm-hmm. Great friend of mine who was actually one of my HR directors at the previous hotel chain that I used to work for. She's still in my life today, and it, you know, when things come up or if I have a question, I know that she's one phone call away, mm-hmm. and vice versa. Sometimes she quizzes me, you know, making sure, here's the HR situation. What are you going to do? I'm like, okay, well, let's talk about the policy. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. You know, so it keeps my juices flowing, keeps me energized from an HR perspective. So mm-hmm. even if I don't do it day to day anymore, mm-hmm. I still have my hands in it a little bit, not only from being president of Shrum Jacksonville, but also I'm also a trainer with DCSI here locally in Fleming Island. So I still have my hands into HR quite a bit. But going back to your question of, you know, who supported me or who's guided me, I think I have several family members. My sister is a great supporter of me being self-employed. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime I have doubt, I'll give her a call and she's, okay, you can do this. You can do this. It's not a problem. You can do this. You know, why don't you do this and do that? You know, and she makes it sound so easy. I'm like, you know what? I should have been doing it all along. So you have people, you know, in your ear about certain things that will help you. And you want to have people who are going to be more uplifting and supportive as opposed to the ones, the Debbie Downers of the world, you know. I do real estate on the side, mm-hmm. Real estate investing on the side. So I have a real estate investing mentor. So because I have
all... When do you have time? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, I always say...
And you're always so energized. Like, do you sleep?
Well, no. But, no, seriously, though, I always say if it's important enough to you, you will make
the time. You'll make time, yeah.
So, you know, I want to make the real estate investing work. I want to make the nonprofit consulting work. And I want to make sure that I'm the best leader I can be as a president for Shrum Jacksonville. So I, you know, I had to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. I won't lie about that. But I can say that I have no regrets for the path that I chose for my career or what I've accomplished. I mean, at the end of the day, I feel I've accomplished quite a bit, and I'm happy with the way my life has gone, and it has allowed me to branch and segue into different things in order for me to think differently about things and look at things and differently and experience a little bit different things. You know, human resources is different, a little bit different from real estate.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, when you're talking about, you know, if you were to manage your own properties, rental properties, then yes, it is just like human resources.
You deal with people everywhere you go, right?
Exactly.
You did mention that you've made sacrifices. Mm-hmm. What would you say has been the biggest sacrifice that you've made?
Sometimes I don't always have, I can't always go to that family function as much as I would like to spend time with, you know, certain, you know, family or friends, sometimes you aren't able to do that because there is something that, you know, that prevents you. For example, you know, I had made plans for a Saturday to do something, and of course, you know, something happened at a rental property that I had mm-hmm. to run out and take care of, you know, so that it does somewhat interfere with spending quality time with your family and friends. The flip side of it is that probably would have happened regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in today's world, a 9-to-5 isn't just 9-to-5 anymore. So your job does interfere with your life. your personal life and work-life balance or work-life fit is what they're calling it these days. At the end of the day, it's always hard to have a balance unless you are making so much money that it just doesn't matter if you make it, you know, if you don't make any more or not. And even then, sometimes it's, you know, you have to pick and choose where you.
But I feel like the more money you make, you're never going to be satisfied. So you're just going to keep going, keep going, keep going.
Exactly.
So no matter if you have the multi-billion-dollar company or if you have the 9-to-5 job or if you're doing like 3 or 4 side hustles, it's still the 9-to-5 job. Like, you're still going to go, because if it's in your head, you're not going to let it stop you.
Exactly. Exactly. And even if you talk to or you see the interviews with very successful CEOs, mm-hmm. Of the world, the ones that are personable and give back to the community and you know, the employees love them, you still talk to the CEOs and they say they've made those sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not about it's about when you look back on your life, are you happy with what you have done? And if you can say yes, that, you know, hey, I had to make a couple sacrifices here, but it was worth it. The end was worth it. Then that's where happiness happens. That's that medium of where it happens.
So how would you say you split the emotional decisions with logical decisions? Because we're humans and emotions get to us day mm-hmm. in, day out. Like, how can one person, or like, what technique do you use to split those two decisions? Like, is this emotional? Is this logical? Should I make the sacrifice? Yes or no?
Okay. Personal or business-wise?
Let's say personal.
Personal. Well, you know what? Even in business, either way, I guess, I always have to think about, okay, what's the end result? What am I trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. What's my final destination and where I'm trying to get to? And then work my way back.
So you do reverse engineering.
Yes. So
logical.
Yes. and that's just Natasha's thought process.
Yeah. No, I'm the same. I look at like, what would this give me then? The result. What would this?
Exactly.
What's the best decision? Let's go backwards. See yes. what I need to do.
And I always encourage people, you know, if you can't do that, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't really know your destination, I would hope that you do. But if you don't know, then go with the old-fashioned decision tree. You know, if it's, this is the question, what is this? And if it's yes or no, okay, over yes, then you go down this line of thinking. If it's no, you go down this line of thinking. Until you come with, okay, this is really what the end result is going to be if mm-hmm. I go this route or this route. And so that kind of takes takes the emotion out of it, but if there is a dilemma, then that's where my default is. So if there is an emotional dilemma, then that's my default. If there is a business dilemma, that's my default, I think. And it's been very actually successful when mm-hmm. it comes to human resources, because you do have quite a few situations, of course, that comes across your desk in which if you always went to the emotional side of mm-hmm. your brain, then you would never get anything done and there would be no consistency in how the business is run or how the human resources department is making decisions. Mm-hmm. So you have to take a step back and say, okay, what's in black and white first? Mm-hmm. And then what are some of the gray areas that we need to make a decision on? And let me take a step back and make and try to come at this from a point of I don't necessarily want to take the emotion out of it, but I want to think of it from a business perspective and then put the emotion back in, because you do want to put the emotion in.
Correct.
So you have to look at it, okay, here's a situation where an employee is coming to you and saying, hey, I need to have time off from work for whatever personal reason. You understand that. You understand this person has to take time off to take care of their children, to take care of their loved one, to take care of what have you. Okay, but you have to step back and say, okay, this is the decision tree now. does whatever they're doing qualify for FMLA?
Yeah.
Do they have the personal time? Do they have the vacation PTO to cover them being out? Do they have leave? So you want to say, oh, take all the time that you need.
But you have to look at business needs.
But you have to look at it from you know, have to take that motion out first. Decipher based on the business need and the policy and the procedure, mm-hmm. and then factor back in the emotion. We're going to do everything we can to support you. Here's what we can do from this perspective.
Yeah.
And then let us know what else we can help you with. You know.
So let's stick with HR and emotions for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before with Ms. Davis' interview. When I thought of HR before,
mm-hmm.
I freaked out. I was like, oh my God, I'm in trouble. But then the more I got to see the HR, that they actually have a very important place in the business,
mm-hmm.
human resources, I mean, human are assets for
mm-hmm.
the company. Like, I would say that's one of the biggest misconceptions people have.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that come across? Like whenever people think HR, they just freak out.
Yes, it's the principal's office. It's the warden. You're the warden. I remember being called the assistant warden when I was in the hotel industry. You do run across quite a few misconceptions about human resources, and it comes from just this old way of thinking. You know, used to be a time human resources was the personnel office, the personnel management, personnel. And they were just over there. They were in this room behind closed doors. So you didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
So therefore you had all this fear of what, when you go to them, what it's going to be. And then it came the touchy-feely people, you know, oh, they're only there for the parties, you know, so they were there for the warm and fuzzies, you know, oh, you sick, you need to go to HR, you know, type of thing. Well, no, we're not the employee nurse either, right? So it over time, HR professionals have had to really redefine what human resources is. And of course, we've gone through several verbiage of what human resources is. Human capital management and people, you know, VP of people services and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But at the end of the day, human resources is that liaison between the employee and the business. So we must know what it takes to assist that the employee base to function appropriately, and this is Natasha's thought process, to function appropriately, but we also need to know how can we help the workforce support the business needs or the organizational needs. So we must, as HR professionals, know the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just knowing policy and procedure. We must know the business. And so when we were personnel management, we really didn't get involved with the business. Business came to us and said, hey, this is what we need. We said, okay, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now human resources is, we need to know what widgets we make, how we make that widget, what's the process, how can we improve the process? And then now I need to somehow take all that knowledge of the business and translate it to how we can support the employees to maximize their performance. So it's being in the middle of business, of the organizational requirements or needs, and the employee base. And how can we walk that line in between the two? So it's not pro-employee against an anti-business. It's
mm-hmm.
not pro-business and anti-associate. It is about, we're both.
So you have to be really good at being the middle person and elaborating between two parties.
Exactly.
Now, employees have a lot of misconceptions about HR, like
mm-hmm.
we just covered. How about business owners? There's a lot of people out there, and I think it's funny, a lot of people say, I want to run my own business, I want to do this and that. And then I'm going to go back to that accounting, like, do you know how to do your taxes? Do you know how to keep up with your track of everything? Do
mm-hmm.
you know you need, like, a to contact IRS to get the EIN number. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff that you don't know. You just want to do it. Like, and I love that energy. But, like, it's a lot of things that you need to understand, HR perspective and business perspective. Have you ever run into those business owners? They're like, it's my money. I'm going to do this. You're the HR person. You do what I tell you. Like, that misconception. You know what I'm trying to get to? That yes. misconception between the business owner and the HR. Like, how do you handle that? And what are some misconceptions, big misconceptions right there?
Well, the biggest misconception, in my opinion, is that we're just supposed to sit over there and really just support anything that person says. Okay, that's one weird extreme.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the first thing you do, and what I have done in the past, is I typically bring all the stakeholders into a meeting and just do a presentation on what is HR.
Okay.
So we're gonna wipe the slate clean. Whatever you know about HR, we're just gonna wipe that.
We're gonna start from zero.
We're gonna start from zero, and let me explain to you what exactly HR is.
Uh huh.
So that you know, when I'm in meetings, here is how I'm here to support you. I'm not against you. I'm here to support you. I am also here to support the associates. So mm-hmm. I'm here to decipher whatever it is you say into a way that I can help manage and lead that team. Now, I may not be the manager of that team,
mm-hmm.
and I may not be the person that supervisor, but my goal and my role is to support that manager, that leader, to help encourage, motivate that staff to do what they need to do. But that's not mean letting people have unlimited sick days and they can come in and leave whenever they want, or unless the business states that it's okay to do that. But
I mean, the business might stay at the time, but if that's the case, you're never going to see the business going better because you don't have more staff.
Exactly. So,
so it's kind of like a domino effect right there.
Exactly. So it's about, you know, supporting the management team and supporting the associates. Yes, there's a little bit of, you know, of course, you know, there's a little bit of the rah-rah because you want to be, you know, you want to be motivational. You want to give as much encouragement to the staff as possible. You want to have an HR, a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always tell people, I can teach you HR. I can teach you the fundamentals of HR. And I can teach you to be a successful HR person. What I can't teach you is how to be a nice person. So once you're in HR, you need to be a nice person.
Yeah.
Nice people don't need to be, if you're not nice, you don't need to be in HR. But you also have to be, you also have to be diligent and be able to stand your ground when you need to. You know, when there is a situation where the manager or the business owner is saying, hey, you know, I want to do this. This is my company and I want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, if this is the direction you want to take, but let me tell you about the ramifications of that decision. You know, and I can pull out data, I can put out facts, I can pull out the fact that there was an EEOC settlement of $5 million. Do we have $5 million in the account to cover that?
Yeah.
You know, so you have to, you know, I'm going to give you the facts, and you have to make the decision. But, you know, this is my recommendation.
I love it. Like, I'm gonna put my recommendation based on facts. And now if yes. you want to let your emotions take over, which emotions, I think they're important. At the end of the day, we're humans. But when it comes to business, it should be, I would say, like a 70-30.
Mm-hmm.
Logical to emotional. And I personally, so I work sales. And the reason why I even got interested to HR first is because I don't remember exactly the article that I read,
mm-hmm.
but it was, I think it was one of the, when I first joined FSCJ Sherm, when I was mm-hmm. just a member
mm-hmm.
for the school chapter, I was in one of the meetings that you guys had, and we had a speaker that talked about the benefits, negotiations of benefits mm-hmm. and the HR, and I was like, huh, HR does that?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, HR talks to Florida Blue or an Aetna or whatever, like the big companies, and try to negotiate the benefits of mm-hmm. the employees. It's very important who, you know, to choose the company for. I was like, I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. And I remember because I was like, I want to be that person that negotiates those benefits one day. Mm-hmm. Me, my sales side. Mm-hmm. And that's what I got even more interested to HR. So I feel like it's so many directions that you can go in HR. It's not just sitting in the office and saying, you did not follow the policy. You know, you're in trouble. Like, mm-hmm. there's so much more that I feel like a lot of people are miseducated or not educated well enough. Mm-hmm.
And there's not only that, but there are what I call HR service providers. Mm-hmm. So you have companies like Aventress, who's the benefits administrator, who would utilize your skills as a market manager, mm-hmm. to help companies, small businesses and large, identify their needs, the needs of their company, so they can pick the perfect benefit plan or pick the perfect insurance plan, you know, if it's a life insurance carrier or what have you. So there are several companies or types of businesses that support HR and serve HR that you don't necessarily have to have the day-to-day HR responsibilities, because mm-hmm. not everybody likes that. Not everybody likes to juggle all the hats. But you can specialize in something.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I loved about HR. You know, true enough, I consider myself a generalist. I'm a jack of all trades. I like my hands on a little bit of everything. But I can say, you know, there are just certain areas that I love the most. Mm-hmm. And that was recruiting. Of course, that's where I started in staffing, recruiting. Employee relations, you know, I always said if I had to do it all over again, I wanted to change some one thing, it would be the fact that I would probably go ahead and get an additional degree in psychology. Because so many people come to me, and even to this day, you know, they want an ear or a mentor or somebody to talk to. And so, you know, having that possible psychology degree may help. But I think that, you know, at the end of the day, you find where your niche, where you really truly enjoy, and you be there. You be comfortable there. And, you know, not everybody needs to be the VP of such and such and such and such. You know, it's all about where you finding the things that make you happy.
Make you happy, yeah. Not to know what. So I follow Gary Vee a lot, and he said this on one of the conferences. He said a lot of people are trying to do great things to show off and to tell people that they don't even like, look at what I did. And that's a big thing. Like, a lot of people do that, unfortunately. It's day to day, like showing off or mm-hmm. doing this and doing that. Like, but that HR, it's very, very important to the business, but not a lot of people think of it. They want to be the CEO and not the actual backbone mm-hmm. of the company.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
As a matter of fact, I was sitting down with a previous assistant general manager one day, and he's like, okay, so let's talk about your career path. Where you want to go? You want to be a GM one day? I'm like, no, why would I want to be a GM?
Yeah.
You know, this is my sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, this is where this is my calling. This is where I need to be, you know, at this particular time in my life. And then I know that those skills are transferable. You know, I can use that in developing and nurturing my small business. I can use that in from the nonprofit side, from the real estate investing side. It helps me in leading a nonprofit.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel that the skills that I've acquired has helped me more than if I was just about that P&L.
That's true. It's and there was a funny picture too that I saw the other day. It was like the little kids, you know how they have the podiums, like first level, like first place, second place. The one in the first place was like not really happy. The one in the third place, he was just jamming up and happy.
Yeah.
So it's not about being always the first one. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have the competitive spirit, but it just, if you're happy inside, it's a whole different level of peacefulness that you reach right there.
Yeah. And not only that, the only person you need to be competitive with is yourself.
It's yourself, yeah.
So I look at what other people are doing. Yes, I look at what my quote unquote competitors are doing. But at the end of the day, it's the milestone that I want to surpass are the ones that I've established, and then I want to be able to even break that milestone again even more the next year.
Yeah.
Because that's what I have done, what I consider an accomplishment.
And I've been there. I've been at the phase that I compared myself with other people. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a competitive person. I've been the place that I've like, well, they didn't. Why can't I do it? What's missing from me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to reach what they're doing. And then when I reach what they're doing, I'm like, but this is not really happiness. It didn't really give me mm-hmm. a great satisfaction. Like, I was happier doing it my way. So I've been there, and I know it doesn't mm-hmm. feel great. You're doing it to show off, which mm-hmm. personal experience is not really satisfaction.
Yeah.
So you've been the president for the SHRM,
mm-hmm.
Jacksonville. Tell us a little bit more about it. How long has it been now? Like 2-3 years?
Oh, no. Actually, I started January of this year.
Okay.
So I've been in the succession plan for presidency since 2016.
So last conference that we was last year.
I was president-elect.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because mm-hmm. yeah. you were just running the show. I mean, I remember us like getting the gifts back ready, getting everything ready. You were on top of it. So I was like, that's a president. Like, if I had, I was like, that's a president.
Well, that is typically the stepping stone. The president-elect is in the past has been tasked to oversee the conference because, in theory, you touch a lot of moving parts. You know, you
okay.
touch a lot of pieces of the chapter, so that you, by the time you're president, you know how to, you know, you have
it's like
oversight
an internship.
Of the, yeah, you had oversight of the conference budget. Therefore, now you can have oversight of the chapter budget, and you had, you know, managing employees. Now you can manage board members, that type of thing. So, I have been officially president since January of this year.
Well, congratulations, to I always thought you were one, but congratulations
thank
on
you,
the new role.
Thank you. And I've been on the board for 7 years.
Okay.
For a total of 7 years.
Mm-hmm. So, I attended the conference. Mm-hmm. How many attendees were we last year? Because unfortunately, I missed this year's.
We were at about 275.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get all those people together? How do you manage? Tell me the backstage.
The question of the day, right?
It's
well,
because it was a great event. Like I volunteer, but I got to stay in different sessions. It was amazing. I learned a lot myself. But how do you get all that masterpiece together?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about SHRM,
yeah.
kind of for your listeners, a little bit about SHRM. So the Society for Human Resources Management is a global professional association that focuses on human resources development, right? And of course, a few other things as well, but the focus has always been on the development of human resources professionals. At a local level, SHRM Jacksonville, the Society for Human Resources Management Jacksonville chapter, our focus and our mission is on advancing and serving the First Coast workforce. But more specifically, it's about serving HR professionals and the business community. So our goal is educational development, but also providing educational resources to small businesses as well. So educational development for HR professionals, networking opportunities for HR professionals, but also providing educational resources to small businesses.
Okay.
Because just like we were talking before, we've got a lot of small businesses out there that don't have HR professionals,
mm-hmm.
or may only have that HR department of one, and so they're limited in their resources that they have available to them, so we can be an extended resource for them. With that being said, one of our extended resources is the annual conference.
Mm-hmm.
And each year we try to make it as great as possible for our attendees. So they know, not only are they going to get the most bang for their buck of attending, you know, because we always have to look at, you know, how, you know, budgeting training dollars and making sure that we're getting the most amount of benefit from our dollars, but also having the greatest experience as well. So we focus on, when I was the conference chair, that was what started in 2017,
mm-hmm.
We started with a pre-conference. That was an opportunity for us to add an additional day to the conference, But not only that, I add some additional credits for students as well as entry-level HR professionals. So we did more career development presentations during that time frame. So that was a 3 or 4 hour time frame of that, and people were able to get 2 or 3 hours worth of recertification credits. The second phase was the actual conference itself. And in that conference, not only do we want to have, of course, 28 breakout sessions and a couple of keynotes, we also had an expo hall, a silent auction to benefit the Sherm Foundation, as well as a networking night so that people can, you know, actually meet the other people that are at the conference as well and not just in those breakout sessions. So it does take a village to run a conference like that. Anybody could tell you that. But I will say that, you know, when you have dedicated volunteers, you can focus, you can really focus on the key points that you want those takeaways to be. One is recertification credits or the educational piece of the conference. Then you want to focus on that conference experience. So if I were sitting at a conference, what do I want to see? Well, that's where the app, we established a conference app, because we know that people are now more mobile than they were, or using mobile tools as opposed to carrying around a booklet in a bag. So we gave people the choice. You can have it on the app or you can carry around the bag.
I remember that was the first time that you guys used the app.
Yes. That was the first year we did it in. We actually did it in 2018. Mm-hmm. That was the first year. And then we did it again because it was so successful. We decided to do it again in 2019 or this year. You know, what are some of the things that we can enhance, how we can enhance that participant experience? So the conference, making sure that we were doing some live social media or as in the moment as possible social media, wanting to highlight the people who are attending, our attendees, our business partners, our speakers. So we enhanced our social media presence. Each year we tried to get some media presence there. So we had a magazine come out this year and interview attendees and speakers and whatnot. So we'll be featured in a magazine publication this fall regarding our conference. So we're trying to not only spread the word about Sherm Jacksonville, you know, we want to have it a household brand name not only Northeast Florida, but Southeast Georgia. But we also want to be synonymous with the fact that we provide quality educational opportunities for its members, for the HR community, and for business leaders.
Nice. I remember the conference was just amazing to me because I just signed up. That was the year that I was just a member for the FSCJ, and they're like, anybody wants to volunteer? So I was like, sure, I'll volunteer. And I loved it. I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't remember this, but first, I was one of the first volunteers to come in. Mm-hmm. And somebody else is running late. And they're like, here, you're going to present Mr. Green. Mm-hmm. So they're like, here's the mic. You're going to read this. And you're going to, you know, you're going to present him to the floor. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I was shaking. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. But he was very professional. So I was like, I cannot make myself look bad in front of him. So I was like, I went to his wife, I was like, anything particular that he wants me to add? And she's like, she saw that I was nervous, she's like, change this and change this. She's like, you'll be just great. But I remember signing up for volunteer, being thrown in there. And at first I was like, oh my God, what did I send myself to? And then after that, I was like, that felt awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, I love it just because you get, like, and that's why it's important to volunteer too, because it's not just helping 1, 2, 3, but you get to experience so many other aspects of it. Mm-hmm. that was the first, like, I would say the most professional public speaking that I did, like, even just those 2 minutes, like, I still remember it to this day. But that was just me getting to know more, and I'm like, I definitely want to volunteer more. And that was a big factor why I actually applied for the president for the FSCJ. And I was like, I want to be a part of this group. I was like, they challenged me. I was like, I like this.
And what people don't realize is that, you know, to your point, there are so many things you can get out of volunteering.
Yeah.
You know, and it puts you in a place where you had no comfort level in, but it's just step out there. Just step out on the ledge.
And everybody experienced something different. Mm-hmm. And, like, I love the speakers. I remember one of the other events, he was the, he was a sheriff department,
sheriff in New York before years. Now he has his own consulting firm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really bad with the names. You probably know exactly who I'm talking about. But he was a police officer for the longest time, and then now he's a consultant. I remember he was walking with the king. He's like, if I can walk with the king and I can do this, he's like, you can do it too. Like, just things like that. And people like being actually very real, and kind of the same idea with the podcast. Like, people that started from nothing and they're like, they will talk and be open and sincere to where they got. I love that conference. And I was like, this is like one of the best conferences I've attended.
And one of the things about, we definitely want to have speakers that have either a human resources background or a business background to kind of provide us with some tools and resources. But quite often, to your point, they're not this multi-million dollar speaker.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, most of the speakers aren't even getting paid. We don't even pay for our breakout session speakers. So these people are coming out of the goodness of their heart.
That's amazing. Come,
and true enough, maybe having exposure to you know, their company, if they're a small business owner. But quite often they're just like you or me. They're in HR. They have a specialty that they enjoy talking about, whether it's business, benefits or compensation or employee relations. And they're very passionate about what they do. They've had successes and they want to share that success
with
others.
And you can tell, like, whenever their conferences, you can tell it comes from a passion standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to conferences that people will talk about what they've done with their life, and they'll be like, and you need to buy my amazing product, and it's only $99 a month, and you'll get this and that. Like, I tend to not like those a lot. Like, I completely understand you are awesome, but I feel like you have to give some for free in order for your product to be reviewed and qualified for the public to come back to you. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's one thing different with Sherman is, like, it just, I feel like the passion and the love, they just want to say their story and just want to help people. And that's, I think that's very important.
I think it also, to even expand on what you were saying about, at the end of the day, we are volunteers because we want to give back. We're passionate about HR, we're passionate about the business community, and we want to give back. And that does not require us to be paid to do that. And so, you have to be passionate to be a volunteer with an organization such as ours. We're very busy.
Mm-hmm.
We have several events and coming up between now and the end of the year. And so we're all going to be, very, very busy. But at the end of the day, it's look what we've accomplished. Look how we've given back. Look how we've impacted positively impacted our community. And we hope that the conference helps with that.
So I can tell you for a fact, personal experience, it does. But I'm intrigued on your point of view. Like, what would you say was your biggest takeaway from the biggest takeaway from overall, like, SHRM experience so far? If you can pick one or two moments that you just feel like you've learned a whole new chapter, or you just open a whole new window of life.
For me, I think the first one is how passionate people can be, the positivity and the support that you get by being with a group of people who are there for the same cause. Nobody's there again to get paid.
Yeah.
They're not getting paid. They're there out of the goodness of their heart to make an impact. Now, some people, they come on the board or they become a volunteer because they want a line item on their resume. You're going to have that, but you're going to have that in your day-to-day work as well. People are there just to get a paycheck. They're only put in just enough to stay under the wire.
Just to pass by.
And then they're going to, then they move on, right? So, but with us, I work with an amazing board and some wonderful volunteers that it just amazes me every day that someone will come up with a great idea, or they'll work on a project, or and I'm the type of person, as you know from this conversation, I'm very ambitious. I'm also the type that sometimes will say, I'm not going to worry about anybody else doing it. I'll do it myself, because I'm a big believer in, I'm not going to tell somebody else to do something or ask them to do something that I wouldn't do. So, but then that puts a lot of stress on me.
Yeah.
And I have volunteers and board members saying, Natasha, we got this. We got this. Don't worry about it. We got this. And it's like, wow, you know, just the fact that the amazing people that come through from a volunteer standpoint. The second thing is, I've seen how HR has changed over the 20 years, and in a positive way. And so to be a part of that change is definitely fulfilling. You know, whether it's, you know, the positive change from a conference, because we've changed that conference concept over a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we did have a blueprint, but we changed it over a period of time, and has had, you know, an amazing outcome from it. But just the fact that, you know, HR has just changed, and to be a part of that process, I can walk away from human resources, you know, when I decide to retire, officially retire. I've said I'm retired, but officially retired.
I feel like you'll still be doing something else, though.
Yes.
Because you have so much.
I know, people are like, you're never going to retire. I already know why you say that. But
you'll get bored. Like Professor Slynn's like, he retired and then he went back because he's like,
exactly.
I have so much energy, I'm bored.
I know. It and with me, I just see that I can look back and say how I have had an impact on human resources and how I have touched the lives of so many people. I think that is the most fulfilling thing to me for being in human resources.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the biggest two. Yeah, you know, being president, yes, that's wonderful. And being and being on the board and having the successes that I've had in my HR career. You know, I was 27 when I was my first when I became an HR director, and so I've definitely
I'm
proud,
my age.
Definitely proud of what I've accomplished. But I think that just being in the room with some of the greatest minds in HR, and I'm not talking about those who've written several books. I'm talking about the ones that are around the table in day-to-day conversations and so creative and that you say, wow, you know, I never would have thought of that. You know, you always want to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you,
yeah,
and more creative than you, because that gets your juices flowing.
Oh my goodness. I feel like we touched a lot of great topics. I had no idea you were into nonprofit. Like, I learned that, which I think that's amazing. And I would love to learn more too towards how I can help or if there's anything I can do to help.
Thank you.
I love giving back to the community. I feel like if I'm selfless, it's like a satisfaction feeling that
mm-hmm.
I cannot really compare it with.
Mm-hmm.
And I love doing that. I mean, it can be time, it can be whatever it is. Like, I think it's important to give back. The more you give back, the more you learn too.
Absolutely. And you can be creative in your giving back.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I do is I teach a couponing class. Because I feel that everybody should be able to save money. So I teach it on the third Saturday of the month. And it's about, you know, I don't get paid for it. It's something I do as a community service.
Yeah.
And I do it through the library. And they allow me to use their space because of it. And one of the things is about, you know, people's financial success.
Yeah.
And not everybody, you know, 9 out of 10 employees, depending on their wage, an hour, you know, they're not investing in 401k. They're not.
True.
They're going to give the basic company benefits that are provided to them, and a 401k isn't going to be given to them and paid into without them having to pay into it. They're not going to. So my thought process is to find ways that they can just save money, and then maybe they put that savings towards investing in the future. Or if nothing else, investing in a vacation that they can take,
yeah.
Or what have you. But at the end of the day, it's so many people are struggling out there that, you know, if there is a way that I can help them through this, then I can walk away once again being happy with what I've accomplished.
And you share personal experience too. It's not like by the book, you know?
Yes.
This is what works, personal experience. And I feel like those are the best lessons that you can pass along and the best stories that you can pass along too.
Absolutely.
So, my very last question,
mm-hmm.
we all know, and I'm really intrigued by this,
mm-hmm.
from everybody, and I know you're going to have, like, a different type of definition, I feel like.
Okay.
What is your personal definition of success?
My personal definition of success, One, you are your own measurement. So what I've accomplished, my happiness is based on what I've accomplished for myself. It's not in comparison to somebody else. So happiness, in definition of success, is happiness in what you do, I think. No matter what you are doing in life, I don't care what it is, if you are happy doing it, then you are successful. It doesn't matter what salary you make. And you shouldn't compare your salary to anybody else. And then just accomplishing the goals that you set for yourself. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, success isn't brain science. You know, it's not about having a million. We know there's a lot of rich people that are very unhappy in life.
Yeah.
So it's about accomplishing the goals that you set for yourself. So set a goal for yourself, establish what you call it, a bucket list or however you want to call it, and strive to achieve your own dreams. And when you achieve those, then you are successful, no matter how big that dream is. If that dream is to, you know, one day, you know, run a marathon, mm-hmm. you are successful. You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing at your job, running that marathon, once you've done it, you're successful. So I think that those are the two things.
I like how you mentioned that there are a lot of millionaires out there that are not happy. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the I'm Not Your Guru, Tony Robbins on Netflix?
I haven't seen it. It's kind of one of those things that I kind of my list of things to see when I get a free moment.
I saw it this past weekend. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I love how Dean Graziosi says in a moment there, he said, and he's like, people ask me, it's like, you're a millionaire. Like, why in the world would you come to this type of conferences to just learn how to be happy or just your inner peace, your inner self? He's like, do you know how many of my friends, millionaires, have millions but are unhappy? He said, that's like, money doesn't make you happy. Like, success is a whole different process. Mm-hmm. So it kind of just triggered me in my brain because I just watched that over mm-hmm. the weekend when you said that. And that's why I'm always intrigued by people's definition of success. Mm-hmm. And I have yet to come to the person to interview and say, X amount of dollars. Like, and I don't think I will ever come because I tend to associate with different, mm-hmm. with people that are happy with their just career achievements more than monetary, if mm-hmm. it makes sense. Oh my goodness. Well, it was a great conversation with you. I did definitely enjoy it. I learned a lot. I would love to learn more about the nonprofit, and I can absolutely go ahead and post it on social media too if there's any way that our listeners can help around. Any last thing you want to add?
Well, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come.
Yeah, absolutely.
and talk about Sherm and myself, and, you know, I'll be happy to come back and talk about anything else if you would like.
So this is the lady behind the Sherm Jacksonville, and she's so organized, you guys. Like, I sent her pre-questions, which we deviated a lot from there. But she literally has notes from the pre-question, like a definition of a consultant, always ready to go. Awesome. Well, I'll go ahead and cut the interview from here, but you guys can always follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitchers Radio, YouTube, Podbean, also at www.rmpodcastfl.com. And don't forget the free webinar that we have coming up on September 8th at noon. It's going to be a free webinar about sales and negotiations, so make sure you do not miss it. Have a great one.